I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to From Complex to Queens, Homer and Applesauce's minor league podcast. I am Steve Slipa, and I'll be joined this week by Lucas Vlahos and Ken Levin. How are you guys doing this week?
Doing okay. I'm mildly annoyed. What else is new?
Yeah, I was about to say, what now?
Finally found some people to play softball with. Shout out Thomas Sankara on Twitter, who I believe is a listener of the pod. Got signed up. All good. Thunderstorms all day today. Games postponed.
Yeah, that's been a trend this week.
Yep. I mean, the weather this week was just fucking heinous. Climate's fine, though. Don't worry about it. Totally normal.
I love extreme weather events, don't you? Mm-hmm.
I just love increasingly destructive positive feedback loops that may or may not result in the destruction of the human race. You know, it's
both of you guys are very lucky because they're going to be happening more and more frequently.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I know. It's great. I'm fucking pumped.
Great job, guys. We did it.
Awesome.
Don't worry, though. Taylor Swift is concerned about the environment.
Well, I mean, if she puts her mind to it, she can do anything. So
her fans will fix it within like 6 months.
The irony being that her private jet use outstrips the carbon emissions of all her fans combined. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Shh. Don't say that part out loud.
Uh-huh.
You're going to get us canceled.
Uh-huh.
All right, so... not too much really happened this week in the world of Mets minor league baseball, so we're not going to have too much to talk about this week. We're just going to talk about the Mets minor league affiliates, how they did, you know, just focus on the teams a little bit extra this week. So first up, the Syracuse Mets, and they played the Rochester Red Wings, and surprisingly, they won the series. I don't even remember the last time Syracuse won a series. One of the games was canceled midweek because of the rain, but even if Syracuse did lose that one, if they did magically play, you know, worst it would have been a split and they wouldn't have actually lost the series. So the 2-3 week, it boosted Syracuse's record a little bit, It brought them to 22-38 on the season. 16 games behind first place. But ahead of the last place Charleston Knights by 9 games. They are playing the Worcester Red Sox this upcoming week. Worcester's in the middle of the pack, so nothing really going on with Syracuse, you know, in terms of like being a spoiler or anything like that. So anything in particular you guys are keeping an eye out with Syracuse over the next, you know, week or two? They only have 2 weeks left of the season.
There is just next to no prospect capital remaining on this roster. I like Brandon McElwain a little bit.
He is fun. He is interesting.
I mean, I don't know. I know the answer. Luke Ritter's still hurt, right? He hasn't come back, as far as I know.
I believe he's done for the season when he got hurt.
Fucking blows. I do not think Carlos Cortez is a big leaguer. I would like them to give Carlos Cortez a week in the big leagues just so he can get his chance to say he's a big leaguer. That's a nice thing you can do for a guy you drafted twice. I do.
It's just the truth.
Other than that, I don't really care about anything on this roster. I mean, hell, give Eric Orsi a couple outings too. Who gives a shit? Like, you're trying to lose.
Oh yeah, give Eric Orsi some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, outside of McElwain, like you said, he's like really the only position player that's prospecty, and you still have to kind of squint a little bit to see that. You know, pitching wise, you know, there's like Mike Vassell, Eric Orsi, Nate Lavender, you know, guys we've all mentioned before that maybe the Mets give him an audition, but yeah, I mean,
there's not enough time left for a real audition is the problem, right? Like, and I'm not, at this point of the season, I'm not worried about figuring out if Mike Vassell or Nate Lavender is viable next season, because there's not going to be enough data to move the needle one way or the other.
Yeah, that is true. It's September 10th already, September 11th.
So just prioritize giving some guys who are never going to get a real shot, give them that experience. This is just a nice thing you can do, and play out the string. That's what we're doing at this point.
And the stupid Mets keep winning too much.
Yeah, I mean, playing Carlos Cortez and Eric Orsi probably helps them lose some games. Let's be real.
You can't say that part out loud.
Is Rafael Ortega still on the Major League roster? Like, why?
I mean, in terms of, you know, stuff like that, though, like you mentioned, look at how DJ Stewart has basically played himself into a contract for next year, either with the Mets or with somebody else.
They have control over him for next year.
I do not believe so.
Yes, they do. He's pre-arb.
I don't. Yeah, but he's been a minor league free agent for like a year or two. They signed
him.
He's
on the 40-man roster.
I don't know. I do not believe that they have control over him, but I may be wrong and you may be right. Either way, though, the point is, look at how, you know, he's been given. How long has it been up for? About a month? 3 weeks?
Six weeks? I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So about a month to a month and a half. And he's definitely, you know, secured himself a spot for next year. And, you know, you can do favors, you know, that it may, when you do stuff like that, we've mentioned before, it makes your team kind of more attractive to lower string free agents and minor league free agents who are kind of on the fence where to sign. If they see that your organization is, you know, good in a regard like that, you'll give guys shots when, you know, the situation is right. You know, that is something that could change the mind of one of the many guys out there. So, yeah, that is Syracuse in a nutshell. Binghamton this week. The Rumble Ponies played the Hartford Yard Goats. That series also got all screwy because of the rain. And then on top of that, they were also making up a game from July. So, all in all, they were supposed to play 7 games, but they only played 5. and Rumble Ponies went 3-2 with two of those games getting canceled because of the rain. Most noteworthy thing about the series was on Thursday, Yoander Suarez threw a no-hitter. It was a 7-inning no-hitter because it was the first game of the doubleheader, but it's a no-hitter nonetheless. It was the 8th no-hitter in Binghamton franchise history. It was the first no-hitter since June 22nd, 2021, when Josh Walker and Andrew Mitchell combined to throw a no-hitter. And it's the first no-hitter that a Binghamton pitcher pitched on his own since Miguel Pinago in 2006. They've had a few combined no-hitters, but it's been basically 15 years since one guy went all the way. So with their week, their 3-2 week, Binghamton is now a half game behind the Somerset Patriots at first with a week to go. They clinched a playoff berth, so they're going to be finishing out the season, playing the Reading Fighting Phils, no pressure. And then they're going to be playing the Somerset Patriots in the Eastern League Division Series in like 2 weeks. So how are you guys feeling about the general state of the Binghamton Rumble Ponies? I definitely feel like it's a team that could go, they could go all the way.
Yeah. If I had a car and also wasn't consistently working like 75 to 80 hours a week, I would be going to some Binghamton games down the stretch here.
It is definitely a fun team.
And it got more fun. I don't know if we want to talk about this now or when we get to Brooklyn. But it's about to get more fun for the next couple weeks.
Talk about it now because it's relevant to the Binghamton playoff series that's upcoming. Somebody is a newly christened Rumble Pony.
Jet Williams is good.
He is.
Remember, I'm victory. I'm gonna victory lap this one. Remember how I came into this season saying like, yeah, if Jet has this reputation for hitting the ball hard and having an advanced approach and good bat to ball, et cetera, et cetera, and if he does all these things, he's gonna rocket up prospect lists. Well, he's done all those things and he's about to rocket up prospect lists.
Mm-hmm. He is having an incredible season.
His OPS is like what, 1,050 for Brooklyn?
Yeah, let's see.
He hit another homer last night.
Jet Williams with Brooklyn. Well, I guess we could say, you know, this is conclusively now because he will no longer be playing games with Brooklyn. He hit 307, 452, 581, an OPS of 1033. He had 9 doubles, he had 2 triples, 7 home runs, he stole 11 bases in 12 attempts, and he had an even 31 walks to 31 strikeouts. As a 19-year-old in 35 games in high A.
Playing shortstop in center field.
Where he was 3 years younger than the average. So that works.
Now, let's caveat this. This is not a huge sample size. He is not this good a power hitter. The raw exit velocities are still they're not bad. They're not elite. And with that frame, it's like tough to say definitively that this guy's going to add more raw power as time goes on because he's 5'6", maybe.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being 5'6".
Wrong with being 5'6" when you have an elite approach and a perfectly optimized launch angle, which he basically has.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't bad when in you know, St. Lucie, but you know, the average was a little low, the slugging, you know, the power was not really there. He was drawing his walks and he was, you know, stealing a ton of bases. So like, and then again, also he's a 19-year-old. So it's like nothing that you really could have complained about, but you know, you would have wanted to see a little bit better. And he has just cleared that bar and then some since getting promoted, and one hell of a season.
I think I was talking I won't give the number away because I don't think I was supposed to give the number away. But I was talking about my early iteration of the Mets list with Jarrett, who was also doing the Mets list for BP this year, and comparing our notes. And obviously, I am mostly using him to tell me I'm wrong because he knows more than me. He was even higher on Jett and let me put it this way. Jett and Gilbert will be ranked highly. Very, very highly.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I might say that Jett is the number one prospect in the system.
Give me Gilbert still, but I see I can see the argument. You could sustain the argument.
Right. I mean, it was I think we all agreed like a month or two ago, whenever like all those trades went down, that Gilbert and Acuna were like, okay, 1 and 2, 1A, 1B, whatever order you wanted to do it. And Jett was pretty much the consensus 3. Now it's almost 1A, 1B, 1C. You know, it's a lot closer.
I've actually pushed Acuna down a little bit for me. I don't know where you're at on him, Ken.
Probably about the same.
I've never been huge on Acuna, so he's actually
a good prospect. Not a,
yes. No, don't get me wrong. Yes. Also, he hit 2 home runs on that night when Scherzer was getting his tits lit by the Rangers. Oh, Max Scherzer shitting the bed in a late season divisional matchup? Never seen that one before.
Let's not throw shade here. We appreciate everything that Max Scherzer did.
Yeah, being petty's fun, though. Gilbert also had a 2 home run day this week, if I recall correctly. So, like, the dude was clearly been playing through injuries all season and is healthy now and looks real good. So, good job, Mets.
Yeah, it's been a while since. I mean, I'm not going to say that any of these guys are slam dunk prospects because, you know, an actual slam dunk prospect is they're very far and few found in between. But it's been a while since you could say, okay, the Mets top prospects are a bunch of really good hitters.
Has that happened in the course of our fandom ever?
I was about to say, maybe you can go to like 2018 or 2019 when like number one was Alonso, number two was Jimenez. But even then, like, I mean, that's not, you know, nothing against Andrés Jiménez, but he was never the type of caliber of prospect viewed as the type of prospect that, you know, Gilbert, Acuna and Jett Williams are viewed as right now.
Even Ryan,
you
know? I think even Ryan Clifford was viewed as a better prospect than Pete or Jimenez ever were. Like Pete had
a weird prospect life.
Yeah, of course.
Because like people were just like, yeah, this guy isn't gonna hit, even though he actually hit basically at every stop in the minor leagues, like just was dominant and people didn't kind of really wanna accept it.
People thought way too hard about Pete Alonso, the prospect.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was just a slow to recognize the swing change that had happened and that it was this offense was sustainable because the question was always like, is this going to translate? And obviously it did.
It certainly has.
But even like those guys peaked. I don't have the rankings in front of me, but what, in like the 70s or.
Right. As at like a national level, like a top 100 level, you know, even because he was, you know, a right-handed first baseman who was pretty crappy as a defender, you know, that's
a chonky boy.
Yeah, that certainly had an impact on, you know, national rankings and stuff like that. But yeah, in terms of like national rankings, the Mets have quite a few guys that are going to be in the top half.
Williams, Gilbert, Acuna have all either previously been in top 50 discussions or, in Jett's case, are clearly going to be moving into that echelon. I think there are some people who would argue that Clifford belongs in that discussion to a degree as well, and fewer people, but still some, who would argue the same for Vargas, which is just fucking wild.
Well, I will not be the one arguing for Vargas.
That's a little aggressive for me. But my point is, like, there is an argument that Marco Vargas is already regarded as a better prospect than Pete Alonso or Andrés Jiménez ever were. Whether that was the correct evaluation of the time, who knows? But, like, that's where we're at.
Yeah, I honestly can't remember. I mean, maybe you would have to go to, like, 2012, 13, 14, that period when the Mets had, you know, the Darnos and the Syndergaards and the Matzes and the Pueyos and the Wheelers and the Wilmers.
What did they trade for Wheeler? I'm bad at this sort of thing.
Nobody. He was a free agent.
No. They traded. When did they trade for Wheeler?
When was the
Beltran trade?
2010, 2011.
Can't help.
I want to say 2011.
Let's see. It was one of those Google two as well. So.
I do remember that the other name they were like, it was Zach Brown, the outfielder, was the other name who was supposedly in discussions. He never went anywhere.
Dominic Brown. No,
Zach Brown.
Zach Brown. Who's Dominic Brown was the Phillies.
Really. Oh, yeah.
2011. Boom. Nailed it.
Nice.
Nice job, Ken. Anyway, I mean, that's the last time the Mets had a really high-end farm system, and it was all arms.
Right, exactly. Like, I cannot recall ever, I don't think, the Mets being so strong in terms of bats.
I mean, maybe in the Wright and Reyes era, but public-facing prospect evaluation was so entirely different at that point. It's almost not comparable, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, you have Baseball America lists, and that, I think, is it.
Yep, basically.
And nothing against Baseball America, but, you know.
I mean, even their process, I'm sure they would tell you this, like, their process now is entirely different and much more robust than it was in 2006, like, or 2004, I guess, because Reyes came up in 2004, right?
I believe 2003, but then he hurt himself.
Oh, right, because he was playing second base for Cavs.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway. That's wrong, but so, good.
Yes, it is. It is a fun team. And it's a fun time to be a Binghamton Rumble Pony fan.
So we need to nag Chris to, like, go as often as he can and just take all the pictures.
We'll donate, you know, we will donate vacation days to you, whatever it takes. Just you just live at that stadium.
I'm not allowed to leave.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. We'll get to the Brooklyn Cyclones in a second. There's a bit more to talk about with them. But St. Lucie, we'll skip to them. They play the Daytona Tortugas in their final season, their final series of the season. And surprisingly, they won. They went 3-2 and had one game canceled because of rain. So St. Lucie's season is over. They end the 2023 season with a 20-43 record in the second half, a 24-41 record in the first half, and a 44-84 record overall. They ended the first half dead last. They ended the second half dead last. And they have the worst record in not just the Florida State League, but in all three single A leagues overall. So before we move on to Brooklyn, you know, anything or anybody stand out to you guys in terms of the St. Lucie season, you know, like good overperformance or just bad underperformance, I guess?
They had a lot of good talent come through. I mean, Jet, Reimer. I mean, a lot of the DSL guys have played here. Vargas, Hernandez have all made it here, and it's just never come together, I guess.
It is strange. I completely am with you. There have been, on paper, a lot of names that will, you know, you'll see the name, like, okay, prospect. Not a prospect, but a guy to keep an eye on, good guy, whatever. And just nothing has really stood out. You know, nothing, it just hasn't clicked.
Is St. Lucie like a I believe this league is generally not great offensively, which might explain some things. A lot of the prospects we're talking about, almost exclusively the prospects we're talking about, are hitters. I mean, the Mets still, it's they're pretty pitching poor top to bottom, frankly, which is an okay spot to be in, I think, because, I mean, the best orgs, as we've seen, figure out how to grow pitchers more easily than hitters. So whatever, I think they'll fix that before too long, but maybe just due to the league environment and the particular contours of their farm system, they were just prone to underperform in this specific league. I don't know.
It's possible. I know, you know, in the past anyway, St. Lucie like skewed slightly towards favoring pitchers, not by like a Brooklyn level, but you know, just a little bit. But in this day and age, you know, post minor league realignment in 2020, and who knows what the hell Major League Baseball is doing with, you know, random experiments that they're not telling people about. Who knows what the actual, you know, park factors and league factors and stuff like that are now.
Yeah, I vaguely remember this coming up on a Baseball America podcast about the the Florida State League, the FSL being down offensively for reasons. So I don't know. I might just be misremembering, but
you know, it's true. And also another thing with, I think that something that we don't really talk about too much, or doesn't get brought up, or it's hard to analyze, whatever, because there's just not many thing data points that you could like really effectively, objectively study, is just the contraction of minor league baseball and eliminating all those rookie leagues.
It's fair.
You know what, you have your 17, 18 year old guys from the DSL or the complex coming up. You'll have your guys that were in the complex last year now coming up. You have guys repeating the level in St. Lucie at the single A ball. You have your random, you know, 5 year super seniors that got drafted playing and they're 23. Like, it's just a mishmash of talent levels. Now, whereas in the past, at least there was a little bit more with the rookie leagues.
That's a good point. The only takeaway that I find at all concerning here, the recent crop of DSL guys who have, some of whom who have moved to this level, have not been particularly impressive. Whether that's a concern or just the nature of these prospects being lottery tickets, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to keep an eye on, you know, next year especially. All right, and the Brooklyn Cyclones now. They played the Wilmington Blue Rocks. They came into the week virtually tied with the Jersey Shore Blue Claws. Cyclones won on Tuesday, they won on Wednesday, they lost Thursday, and they won on Saturday. The Blue Claws lost Tuesday, they won Wednesday, they won Thursday, and then they split doubleheader on Saturday because their Friday game was postponed. So literally coming into the final game of the season on Sunday, Brooklyn had a one-game lead over the Blue Claws. Obviously, if they won the game that they were playing, they're in the playoffs. If they lost but the Blue Claws also lost, they're in. If they lost and the Blue Claws won, then the two teams would be tied in the standings. And unfortunately, the Blue Claws would advance because the head-to-head record that the two teams have, the Blue Claws have the advantage. So on Sunday's game, Brooklyn and Wilmington, they traded zeros early on. In the fourth inning, finally, the Blue Rocks scored a run. Matt Suggs hit an RBI double off of Jordani Ventura.
Great name.
It yeah. is. All of them. Suggs is a good last name. Ventura, Jordani, of course.
Ventura, a total aside, Ventura put together those two incredible starts because he was bad. He was bad in St. Lucie. Couldn't throw a strike. He comes up to Brooklyn and puts two of like the best starts you'll see at the level together and then just immediately went back to not throwing strikes.
Yeah, he's had a very weird season.
I want to believe that there's still something here. I really do.
I know.
The stuff is good, I think. I just, I don't know. Anyway, continue, please.
Yeah. So, the Blue Rocks, their lead, it wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't keep the lead for very long. Drake Osborne tied the game on the bottom of the fourth. And then in the sixth inning, Stanley Consuegra hit a solo home run to put Brooklyn up 2-1. And that home run was also a Brooklyn season record. 23 in a single season, and it also made him the Brooklyn career record holder with home runs.
Really?
Yeah, because he's had basically two full seasons at Brooklyn now. And also they were pre 2011, they were short seasons, so a lot of records are for grabs now.
Fair, right?
So Brooklyn had the lead until the eighth inning, and then Dylan Hall allowed the tying and leading runs to score thanks to Yohanji Morales tripling. So thanks a lot, Ken. This is your fault.
You're welcome.
And then Jeffrey Colon, he allowed another two runs. So going to the ninth inning, it was 6-2. DeAndre Smith, he singled. And Jet Williams came to the plate, two outs. But obviously you can't hit a five-run home run with one guy on base. And it doesn't matter because Jet struck out anyway, and that was the end of that. So Brooklyn lost. But maybe they could still back into the playoffs. And the Blue Claws, they were playing the Hudson Valley Renegades. It was a hard... they fought tooth and nail, basically, the two teams. The Blue Claws had a 7-4 lead going into the top of the sixth. But then in the bottom of the inning, the Renegades scored two runs to make it 7-6. Then they scored another two runs in the seventh to make it 8-7. Then they added another run in the eighth to make it 9-7. So in the ninth inning, two men on, Jersey Shore is down to the final out. And the Jersey Shore batter hit a routine ground ball. Maybe it wasn't routine. It was hit pretty hard. But the Renegades third baseman, he bobbled it. Then he made a throwing error. And the Blue Claws tied the game. In the bottom of the inning, the Blue Claws, the Renegades possibly could walk it off here. In the bottom of the inning, the umpire blew a call on a strike 'em out, throw 'em out double play. The runner didn't actually even get tagged. The second baseman swiped, but he didn't actually touch the runner. And the blown call would have pretty major implications because then the very next Renegade batter hit a single. And that should have been a wall off for the Renegades. And instead, he ended up getting stranded. So, extra innings. Neither team scored in the 10th. Now, here is some bullshit, man. Were you guys watching this game by any chance?
I was not.
No. I was listening to it while I was driving. In the 11th inning, the Blue Claws took a one-run lead. Okay, you know, it happens. The pitcher was Renegade catcher Juan Crisp. The Renegades manager, he didn't want to burden the bullpen because they already are locked for the playoffs. They didn't want to throw extra bullpen guys out there. So they had their catcher pitch. The catcher gave up a run, as you would expect catchers pitching to do. And that was the end of the game. Hudson Valley went down 1-2-3 in the bottom of the inning. And just like that, now the season is over for the Cyclones. And the Blue Claws are advancing.
All right. I'd be more angry if that happened in the ninth inning. And the extras where you have the free runner score a fucking run.
Yeah, I know. It just sucks because Brooklyn was so good. Like, they were like, until Binghamton kind of got hot in the second half of the second half, you know, Brooklyn was basically like all we had. They started the second half out really hot. They sustained it. And they didn't even get bad. It's just Jersey Shore got really good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to tip your cap to them because, you know, the Cyclones didn't screw themselves. They kept winning, too. But yeah, the Cyclones, they end the second half now 38-28, obviously tied with the Blue Claws, but they're not advancing. They were 28-37 in the first half, and overall in the season, they are 66-65. So they made it over 500, which is meaningless, but, you know, nice to see.
Yay.
So, yeah, obviously, you know, Jets had one hell of a season with Brooklyn. Jacob Raymer, you know, he kind of got hurt, so gets lost in the shuffle.
Alex Ramirez is L-cooked.
Yeah, I mean, he's young enough that you can still try to say, you know, you can still say give him the benefit of the doubt, but this is his second year in Brooklyn where he has not really performed particularly great. I guess they have to push him up to Double A next year, but they don't. But I don't, you know, I don't know. But yes, I
asked the same question I did at the start of the year. What does he do better than Stanley Consuegra?
He's a better outfielder.
Okay, that's fair.
In terms of offense, you know, he can steal more bases, you know, but if you're not getting on base, then that doesn't really matter.
And look, I don't know if Stanley Consuegra is going to be able to make contact with a Double A breaking ball, but like, the dude hits and hits for power, at least a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, when you're basically they're kind of this in the same situation, neither one of them are making sufficient contact, and, you know, neither guy draws walks at a crazy high amount. So you're basically just comparing one has a little bit more speed and the other one has some more power. And
I mean, one of them has an OPS that's 200 points higher.
Yeah, power tool is much more impactful with the bat than having a little extra speed.
Yeah, I think I hope this doesn't become another Mauricio situation where I have to incur the ire of people on Twitter constantly, but I don't think I have Ramirez in my top 15 at this point. He might not be in my top 20.
And he's certainly not in the top 10.
No.
I think you could make a very good case that he's not in the top 15 either. I think 15 to 20, it starts, okay, maybe 20 to 25, I think, is reasonable. Anything under 25, I would say, maybe it's a little too
much of a hot take.
Low. Yeah. But, yeah, fun team. Fun season, and unfortunately it ended stupid.
It ended not fun.
Nah. Not what we want to see.
I really told myself I'd get out to some games, and I didn't.
I know. Every year. We always say, oh, we need to all go to a game. No, we never do.
No. I mean, we didn't talk about this with AA, because he's there now, but Kevin Parada kind of disappointed across both these levels, which is mildly concerning.
Yeah. I mean, Parada kind of sucked for the first month, and then he was solid to pretty good for the next two or whatever it was, which is, I mean, I don't mean to hold this against him, but he should, you know, like for the pedigree that he has, for the mm-hmm. advanced age, all that kind of stuff, like, yes, he should be doing really good, you know, so kind of hold it against him. And, oh, you know, you can't credit him as much for doing good, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then he got hurt and missed like a month or so. And in Binghamton, he's like 3 weeks or whatever, and he's not really done much.
Nope.
Yeah, he's another guy that's going to be falling. I mean, I think we all agreed for the most part when we were doing our
mid-season list that was immediately made relevant by the Mets acquiring six at this point. I think they legitimately acquired five guys that are going to be in their top 10 and another one that will be in the top 15.
Which yeah, I mean,
insane.
The amount of depth, not depth in terms of like major league depth or anything like that, but in terms of like stretching out the top prospect list is crazy. I mean, you know, let's say that, I mean, you could make an argument that Parada did fine. Like, he didn't do bad. He didn't do great. He just kind of treaded water, whatever. And he's still going to be dropping pretty hard. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he was a catcher, we'd be like, this was not a great season, but okay. None of us still think he's a catcher.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, it was kind of fun making our lists, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be even more fun making our lists after, you know, the Instructional League and the Arizona Fall League and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good. It's a good, you know. It's much more fun to have to start, you know, crunching the numbers and making comparisons and everything like that when you have a strong top 15 as opposed to last year when you're starting to squint after like six. So,
yeah.
Much, much rather be in this situation. All right. So, yeah, that was the Mets minor league system for the week. And, you know, obviously Binghamton has one more week to go and then the playoffs, and Syracuse has two more weeks to go and then not the playoffs. And then, unfortunately, the season is going to be over.
As you can tell, listeners, we are in the content doldrums of the season at this point.
wait till November. We always figure it out, though. We always figure it out.
At least there's off-season stuff to talk about then.
Yep, that is true. And maybe this year the Mets will be buyers, sellers, who knows. Hopefully we'll be adding, you know, a new top pitching prospect from Japan. Maybe even two, who knows.
It'll be fun.
Yep. All right, so if anyone has any questions, comments, whatever, you can send us an email at our email address from complextoqueens@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter and shoot us questions there. I am at Steve Saipa. Lucas is at ElVlahos343. Ken is at KenLavin91. And Thomas is at ZedMetSeason, SZN. Subscribe to the podcast, wherever you get your podcast from, rate and review. And, of course, we thank you for listening. And we are Patreon-based, so if you do like our podcast or any of the other ones that are in the Homer and Apple Network, you can subscribe for just $5 a month. So we will be back next week. And until then, love the Mets. Love the Mets.